Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. If you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Exodus. The Old Testament book of Exodus, and Exodus in chapter number 25. Exodus in chapter number 25. We're marching through this study of the tabernacle, understanding that God wanted to be present with His people. But in addition to being present with His people, He gave us what we would call as a picture book to point to Jesus Christ. And that each of the parts of the tabernacle is meant to show us another picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whereas we are starting with the actual tour of the tabernacle, we saw the structure and the boards, we saw the coverings, we saw the border and the gate and the courtyard. Now we've actually stepped into the courtyard and saw the brazen altar, that we went to the brazen laver. And now we enter into the tabernacle itself and begin to examine the furniture that we find within the tabernacle. The first piece of furniture we find inside of the tabernacle is going to be the golden candlestick, and we have it mentioned here in the book of Exodus in chapter 25. The book of Exodus, chapter 25, and if you don't mind, let's look together, and once again, I'll read it out loud. Perhaps you'd like to watch in the screen together, and let's see this idea of the golden candlestick. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold, a beaten work that should the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches and his bowls and his knobs and his flowers shall be of the same. And the six branches shall come out of the side of it, and the three branches of the candlestick out of one side. I put the wrong video in there. Good. Yay me. Good. So just look with me together and read it. As we're at Exodus 25, verse 32. And six branches shall come out of the sides of it, three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bowls shall be made unto almonds, with a knob and a flower in one branch, and three bowls like almonds in the other branch, with a knob and a flower, so in the six branches that shall come out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds, and their knobs and their flowers, and there shall be a knob under two branches of the same, and a knob under two branches of the same, and a knob under the two branches the same, according to the six branches that shall proceed out of the candlestick. And their knobs and their branches shall be the same, and it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, and they may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof and the snuff dishes thereof shall be out of pure gold. And of a talent of pure gold shall he make it with all these vessels, and look upon that which make them after their pattern, which was shown unto thee in the mount. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a phrase that we find in the book of Exodus chapter 25. The book of Exodus 25, and notice with me in verse 31, where it speaks about the candlestick of pure gold. The candlestick of pure gold. And with the Lord's help, we're going to talk about the golden candlestick today. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that once again, you would help us to open up your word, to be able to examine this piece of furniture and to point to you, that we could relate to it, that we could apply it. And Lord, after the day that we've had and even part of the service that we have, I'm asking that you'd fill me with your spirit for the purpose that I dare not trust my own. I want you to have the preeminence, and our thoughts and our minds are on you and what you can get done. Lord, thank you that we can trust you in all of these things and that you can get victory in our lives because of it. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good. Well, let's speak about the golden candlestick. It's described here in this passage in Exodus 31, but let's go in a little bit more of the details. We find it inside of the tabernacle. Remember that the tabernacle always faces the east. So what we're going to do is that we're going to end up finding it on the south side. And so it's going to be, as you step into the tabernacle itself, you're going to find it on the left. And so it's going to sit there to give light. Now, the lampstand was made of one talent of pure hammered gold, one solid piece. Now, this is interesting that the lampstand, the golden candlestick, was not made out of parts. It was made out of one pure boulder of gold, and it was chiseled out. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? That it was one solid piece. That means you couldn't take it apart. It also means that thing was heavy. It had a central shaft with six branches, three on each side, making it a seven-branched lampstand. Each branch had knobs, flowers, and almond-shaped bowl to hold pure olive oil. Now again, it was taken out of one solid piece, and from this one solid piece, they had to carve out the little knobs, carve out the flowers, had to carve out the almond-shaped bowls that would end up holding the oil. This is very artisan work. This isn't something that you would just pass off to a brand new student who's trying to learn how to do pottery. This was a master art put together of gold, which is a soft metal, but it's one of those ones where you can't make a mistake either because it is so soft. Now, though it's often called a candlestick, the lampstand did not use wax as fuel. So some people have in mind, because we call it the golden candlestick, that it's almost like a candlestick that you would have at home where you would put a wax candle in here. But this is not how it operated. It operated using olive oil that the Israelites brought as an offering to the tabernacle. So it was an oil-based lamp. So a lot of people will call it the lampstead instead of a candlestick for the idea of clarification that this is something that is fueled by oil and not by wax. The Bible talks about that, command the children of Israel that they bring to thee pure olive oil, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continuously. So again, God had provided them, as they, the children of Israel, as they left Egypt, all the materials, including this freshly beaten oil, which again, in the Middle East area, is a very important substance, but depending on where you're at in the desert, it is a very rare thing to get. And now they had to have enough to supply for 40 years. Now, God knew what he was doing, but that's a lot of oil that needed to be secured and provided. Now, it was the priest's duty to trim the wicks and to keep the lamps lit. That means it was part of their duties. The priest had to take care of the wicks. The wicks, of course, you would still light it the same, but it would be inside of the oil. They had to make sure that the oil never ran out. So someone had to make sure, as a daily job, to make sure the oil in their lamp was full. And because you did not want it to go out. Now, this is interesting. We're going to talk about a different lecture about all the priest's duties, or some of them. But there was a lot of work that needed to be done inside of the temple, inside of the tabernacle. And this was one of them, this main job. The priest kept the light burning continually, probably both day and night. So you had a night shift guy who to make sure that things were lit, making sure they didn't go out. So we see the purpose. We went from the dimensions to the purpose. What is the purpose of the golden candlestick? The lampstand was designed to provide light for the tabernacle. That was its main duty. The lampstand was the first item seen upon entering the tabernacle as a reminder to his people that God is light. So when you would first go in there, go through the curtain, go into the Holy of Holies, the first thing your eye would be drawn to, of course, is the light that would be burning. There was no other light in the tabernacle for the priest to work. That's interesting. There was no windows to allow the light in. Remember, this thing is covered with three or four blankets type things, four curtains that are covering it. There's no skylight. There is no other light. The only way that you could see to do all of your work was through this light. Only one light source. Now, to the natural man, to the unsaved man, to the unspiritual man, this was a design flaw. Well, what kind of stupid building has no light switch, no whatever else? No, God knew what he was doing with this. Again, it was meant to point to the Lord. The oil in the lamp was to provide the only light they needed to be guided in the service of the Lord. By the way, the oil is always a picture of the Holy Spirit. You know what you need to light your way? Holy Spirit. That's the only light you need. Isn't that a blessing? That God has provided enough for you to make right decisions the rest of your Christian life because of the oil that he has provided to light your way. The Bible speaks about this in Exodus 38. And he made a laver of brass and the foot of brass and the looking glass of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the congregation. Good. Now, let's go to the golden candlestick and see the actual person that was reflected. The candlestick was a symbol of a person with a capital P. This was point to Jesus Christ. The personal pronouns applied to the candlestick showed that it was personified and not just an item. Notice again what it says in Exodus 25. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall this candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches and his bowls and his knobs and his flower. The pronoun here is specifically carrying the idea of a male personification. This candlestick was supposed to be a picture of Jesus Christ, to point up as a picture that he is the one who gives us the light. The Word of God is a light for believers, and it guides us through life and protects us from evil and darkness. God has given us light to guide our steps. We're thankful that he has provided this light. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." That this here, God gives us enough light to see. He gives us enough light to do our immediate work. He gave us enough light to take the next step. This light is not enough for us to see down the path or to see a mile down the road, but it's enough to show us the next step. It's enough for us to show the work that we have to do next. I want you to think about the tabernacle. The tabernacle is dark inside except for the light. And they had to do all of their work. They had to do the table of showbread, which we will talk about on Sunday. They had to talk about the altar of incense. We'll talk about that on Sunday. They had to take care of the golden candlestick. But in addition, think about, as we had mentioned last time, they're nothing but dirt underneath them. Part of the priest's job was to clean the house of God. And it was considered a great honor and a great service to clean the house of God. That was an important job. You said, wow, yeah. Part of the service of the house of the Lord is that they had to maintain it. And think about all the dust that would collect. I lived in Arizona. Arizona, you let your windows be shut, hermetically sealed, and you're still dusting all the time. That desert sand is everywhere. Now, what happens is that if you let the sand and dirt get on the golden bars on the inside, it will start to dull them out. Remember, this light is reflecting upon the inside with all the gold. And it makes the light shine a lot more. But you need to make sure that everything was clean to get the actual reflection and to see everywhere that you needed to have seen. It was one of the important jobs in the service of the house of the Lord. And again, all of this would be done was because of the light being shown, their only light source. This light source was very important for them to get their work done. This light source is very important for us to take the next step. Now, for us, again, we have the Word of God that shows us our next step, shows us what we're supposed to do, gives us our instructions for the service that we're supposed to do. Now, the Bible says that Jesus is God's Word in human form. So remember, he guides us through his word, and Jesus is the word. Praise the Lord for that. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus as the word gives us our light. Jesus as the word shows us the next step. Jesus as the word gives us the strength to do the service that, and shows us what to do as a service to him. John 1:14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. Remember that word glory carries with it the idea of shine. So once again, it's showing this reflection, full of grace and truth, that Jesus is our light. And he's the one who shines and shows us the next step. He's the one that shines and shows us what we're supposed to do next. He's the one that shines and shows us the service that we're supposed to do and gives us the light to do that service. Jesus referred to himself as the light of the world, and those that follow him will never walk in darkness. Again, because he is our light. He's our reflection. John 18:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am. We had spoken about that before. The Jewish people understood when Jesus said, I am. He's referring to himself as God in this, that I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That when we have Jesus, we have the light that we need. And he guides us through his spirit, through his word. He's the one that guides us. He gives us the light. And as long as we have Jesus, we'll never more walk in darkness. Now, you could disobey the light and end up walking in darkness because you disobeyed the light. But you have light available. And any time, you can come back to the light. But if we want to follow the Lord, we already have our next step already shown for us. We just have to obey. I'm thankful that for the Christian life, we don't have to figure things out. We just have to say yes to what Jesus has already said. Jesus said in John 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Again, Jesus is this light that we need. We need him every day to know what we're supposed to do. John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me shall not abide in darkness. Once again, I'm thankful that we don't have to live and dwell in darkness. We could live in the light because Jesus is the light. The light of Christ lives inside of believers, and we're thankful for that. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, the light shines. Now, because of that, we're supposed to be a reflection of that light. So think about the tabernacle. I was just talking about this just a second ago. The candlestick is the only light source. But in order for the light to reach the entire thing, it would reflect off the walls. Now, the golden walls inside of the tabernacle, did they produce light? No. They were a reflection of the light. And as long as they were clean, they reflected the light as they should. However, when they allowed it to be dirty, it dulled that light. And the work was not accomplished. So we are to be shining the light that God has for us as a witness. We are a reflection, like the moon reflects the sun's light. It doesn't have light of itself, but it reflects the sun's light and can make enough light for people to see even in the dark times. Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. Notice his commandment, walk as children of light. If we are supposed to be a reflection of the light of Christ, that means that people will see Christ by how we live our lives. If you live like your God is holy, people will assume your God is holy. If you live like your God is not holy, they will assume your God is not holy. If you live like your God is righteous, they will assume your God is righteous. If you don't live like your God is a righteous God, then they will assume that your God's not a righteous God. You understand how we live our life shows a light, reflects, and people will see that reflection. What kind of reflection, what kind of light do you shine? Are you a distorted light? Are you a dulled light? Do you dull that light? Or do you show an accurate view of our Savior by the way that you speak, by the way that you deal with others? Remember, we read in John chapter 1 that Jesus, when he spoke, he was full of grace and truth. You understand, you have to have grace and truth. If you have truth with no grace, all you do is make people mad. If you have grace with no truth, then you're not doing them any good. We need to be full of grace and truth as an accurate reflection. So what does that mean? You need to be gracious to people. People don't have to agree with you. They don't have to line up with you. They don't even have to be nice to you. You don't treat people the way they treat you. You treat people the way that God wants you to treat them as a reflection of who Christ is. Let me give you an example. You go out to eat, and I'm assuming that all of you go out to eat from time to time. And your waitress is having an awful day. She has dropped things in your lap. She is messed up. She didn't get your order right and all that other stuff. You know what normal Christian church people response is? Bless God, how do you mess up like this? And they take her to task and yell at her and chew her up and whatever else. And then they don't leave any tip whatsoever. Horrible. Horrible. You say, what do I do? You be gracious to her. You be understanding. Assume that, you know, there's probably outside circumstances. Maybe there's things going on. And she may be ready to break down. And you being kind to her can change everything. I often leave bigger tips for waitresses that messed up. Why? Because they know they messed up. And if I show graciousness to them, they'll be willing to pass out a track. Now, let me give a command here. If you don't leave a good tip for your waitress, don't leave a track with my name on it. You should be a reflection. Be gracious to people. Now, be truthful. There are some people that say, well, I just don't like to confront people. Well, then you're not doing them any good. People need to be confronted that they're doing wrong and that they need to fix things. But you do it with graciousness. And you work with people and you'll be patient with people. The idea that Jesus was gracious and Jesus was full of truth, and he drew people to himself because of it. Now, our goal is to reflect that light, to reflect that same light. So when people say, because of the way that you lived your life, I want to know your God more. Because of the way that you live your life, I believe your God is real. So many Christians live like Jesus isn't alive at all. Monday morning or Monday afternoon, they're watching filthy stuff on TV. Tuesday, they're laughing at all the filthy jokes saying at the water cooler. On Wednesday, they haven't done an ounce of work because they've been taking breaks over and over and over, and they haven't done any work. A poor reflection of our God. We should be a reflection of who he is. Jesus is holy. We should live holy lives reflecting it. We're going to stand before God and give an account. We should live like that. We should live like our God is always watching us. Not as if that's a bad thing, but that we're very careful about what we do. We are the light of the world. We are a reflection. Jesus is that candlestick. And we're those golden walls that are reflecting that glory. And it's by that light people see who that true light really is. This is what Jesus is trying to say, that this is why Jesus can be up in heaven and his work still be accomplished. Remember, only God can get his work accomplished. But people are seeing the light of Jesus reflected off of us. By the way we speak, by the way we behave, by the things we listen to, by the things we do, people watch us. Are you that reflection? Would people want to come to this church because of the way that you live on Tuesday? Do people want to go to the church because of the way that you treated them at the restaurant? Do people want to know who Christ is because of how they saw how you handled trouble? We are the reflection, the light of the world. We are not the true light. All we are is a reflection of that true light. And it's not about you. All you could do is make sure all the dirt is off of you and you have an accurate reflection of that light. Now, followers of Christ are called to be the lights in dark places. And we live in a dark, dark world. And even if you are only a tiny light in the middle of the night, that tiny light is a big, big deal. When World War II happened and the Blitzkrieg would go over Great Britain as Hitler's bombers continue to go, part of what they had to practice was total blackout. You know, a small LED light from a radio can be seen if it's the only light around. And they could spot it. For us, we live in a dark, dark world. And that little bit of a light can make a big difference because we are trying to draw them to the big light, to the Christ up in heaven where they could see the light for ourselves. When we're in a dark world, it is more important than ever that we are reflecting that light and being that proper light. In witnessing to others through words and actions, the light of Christ is projected from believers. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Here it's giving a thing that back then they didn't have matches, they didn't have lighters. So you would make sure that that light was always going. And during at night, you wouldn't light a candle and then immediately hide it under a bucket. It does you no good for that light to be under a bucket. You need the light shining so you could see throughout your house. Praise the Lord that we have electricity. Can you imagine going to your house at night and saying, I'm not turning on any lights, it's going to be pitch black? It does you no good. We like to be able to see. We need to be that reflection. We teach kids at a young age, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Then we teach them the verse, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it. Why are we teaching them this? We're trying to get a concept at the very beginning. They're supposed to be the light of the world. You don't hide that light. Secret service Christians are not needed at this time. God's not looking for secret agents. He's looking for people to shine the light. But God could use me as a secret agent. No, the Bible is very clear. He does nothing in secret. He doesn't need to. He is God. He doesn't need to hide. Things that we do as Christians should be open and honest and reflection of who God is. How do people know about our God? By the way we live our lives. Because we are not the light, He is the light. We are a reflection of that light. What good would it do if some person had a bright idea? Well, I don't want these gold bars to inside of the tabernacle to get marred. I get tired of cleaning it, so let's just draw curtains around the whole thing. Well, sure, you have the candlestick that's lighting the thing, but it's not going to get as much light. That curtains will absorb that light, and it will be a darker place because of it. We live in a dark world. The only way that people will see that light is if we are truly reflecting Christ's light. We are the light of the world. Are you letting your light shine? So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father up in heaven. Your good works are a reflection to God's glory, His shine. People will say, praise the Lord. If the way that you are living your life causes people to say your God is real, that's what we're supposed to do. Because it's not about you. You're not trying to get people to say what a good person you are. You're trying to live your life in such a way that they have no choice but to look at your God. This is different than you just being a good person. This requires you to be a holy person, a righteous person, a person close to the Lord, that they took note that he had been with Jesus. We are reflecting his light, not our light, that they may behold your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We know that Jesus is the light, and praise the Lord, that's what the picture of the golden candlestick is. But because he is the light, we need to be an accurate reflection of that light. So, how are you doing? If we followed you around this week, what would we say is true about your God? Is your God real? Is he existent? Or does your God only show up on church services? Is your God real during your meals, during your interactions with your coworkers? Does he see the way that you work? You know what a great testimony it is when an employer says, I know that you're a Christian by the way that you work. That should be said. Or are you like everyone else that messes around and steals the employer's time? The way that you work, your work ethic, is that a reflection? The way that you handle when things don't work out? Do you pitch a fit and throw trash cans and kick a cat? Or do you handle things by faithing God? And people know that if something bad happens to you, the first thing you're doing is say, Lord, help me. Lord, I need your grace. What type of reflection do you show? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.